Well, good morning again. It has actually been a while since I have preached a message here, being away in holidays and taking our second daughter out to school in Texas. We drove. That's a long time in a car. A really long time. But here's the thing, the kids can't escape anywhere, so you got that good time with them. But yeah, Aaron's in Texas going to school, so that's where we drove to, and it's away from where all the flooding was, a couple hours, but we had a great trip going out there. But I tell you, it is good to be back here this Sunday. And we are starting a series that I am trusting is going to carry us all the way to the big give that will be happening the last Sunday in October. And if you haven't been around our church very long, let me tell you what the big give is. About almost 5 years ago now, the elders board really felt like God was calling us to live beyond ourselves and that we needed to give away an offering. And, you know, which is kind of like, that's crazy talk. But when Jesus leads you to things, you say, yes, Lord, that's what you do. And so we decided we're going to start doing that. And we've done that. This is the fifth year we're doing it. And this year, at the end of October, we're going to take up that big give offering. So when that time comes, pray about it. But it's pretty exciting. I love the fact that Jesus calls us to do things, and there's a yes here in our church to ante up and say, Lord, we're following you. So I've had some posters up in the church kind of teasing where we're going with the series. And the main word representing the journey we're going to be on in the weeks to come is released. Released. And that's a good word. In fact, it is a word you have probably heard mentioned around here often. Because pretty much every Sunday morning, at the end of the service, Dan or Pam, sometimes Michelle, Julie, often me, will stand up here and we will give a prayer or a benediction at the end of the service, and then we'll say, you are released. Now, we used to say dismissed. But years ago now, at one of our staff meetings, we started talking about that word, dismissed. And there had to be a better word than dismissed. Because when you hear dismiss, it's kind of like, okay, you can go now. You know, and no. You don't dismiss people. You know, because especially when we understand, you know, at the end of our services, who we are in Christ, what he has done within us, or the fact that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we are being dismissed into the world where we're called to be lights. We're called to be difference makers in a world where we are to represent Jesus, in a world where we are to open up a can of whoop sauce on the darkness. You do not dismiss people to that. You release them. And so we started saying, you are released. Hence, give you a little bit of an idea of where we're going with the series. So today, we're going to start this journey in Joshua 3. And this is where, after 40 years in the desert, the people of Israel are almost ready to enter into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And for us, you know, some of us might hear that and think, "Woo, that sounds like a pretty sticky place and not a place for those who are lactose intolerant." But come on, we all know that saying was meant to kind of give the idea, and they knew what it meant, that this land they were going into was a bountiful land. It was the land that Abraham had been promised hundreds of years before. It was the land that the young people had grown up dreaming about entering into. It is the land that those who are now older were close to at one point in their teens, in their childhood. They could see it, but they're now saying, hey, we're not going to blow this like our parents did. We want to go in. We're going to follow God. We're going to go into the promised land. But there was still an obstacle in their way. There's something they needed to do before being released to the promised land. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to head into the scriptures. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that's gone on here already. And Lord, I know that you're here. I know that. But Jesus, I just want you to know how much I need you to come and preach this message with me today. Forgive me my sins, cleanse me of all my unrighteousness, and Holy Spirit, fill me up. And Father, this morning, I want to ask, Lord, I want to pray against distractions. I want to pray that my friends today, my family, that their eyes, their ears, their hearts would be open to what you want to say to them. God, that they would hear from you. And Lord, I am not praying for them to be emotionally moved, because that never lasts. Lord Jesus, I am praying for them to be transformed. And God, only you can do that. But Lord, I pray that transformation would happen here today in each of our lives for your glory. So would you come and be with us? Would you speak? Would they hear? May we be hearers and doers of your word for your glory, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So reading in Joshua chapter 3, 1 to 5, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out for Shittim. And yes, I am completely mispronouncing that for obvious reasons, and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. You will know which way to go. You will know which way to go since you have not been this way before, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So they are on the verge of realizing the promise of God that God had made to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. But there is the Jordan River that they need to cross. And the Jordan is a good-sized river. And normally, you might look at it and think, well, you know, they could have waded through that river, you know, hanging on tight to their kids and their possessions. But we know from verse 15 that the Jordan is actually at flood stage during this time. And I thought to give us an idea, because I know it's some of you, but I've seen pictures of people being baptized in the Jordan and what it looks like, and I always think, you know, they could have crossed that, except for the fact that it was at flood stage. And I found a clip of the Jordan at flood stage. So who wants to be first to cross that river? Call me crazy. It looks really difficult to cross. And I think it would be utter foolishness to even try to cross it because you might lose your life. Now, I love the water. I really do. And when it's in the right places, like a lake or a pool. And I love rivers when they're flowing at their normal level. In fact, my family, we go up to Terracotta, and there's a little park there. You can actually swim in the river. We've done it many, many times. People float down it in tubes, and it's really nice when it's at normal level. Because we all know that water out of control can do a lot of damage. It is so dangerous, as evident in recent weeks with Harvey and these other hurricanes that just seem to keep coming. You know, when we were dropping Erin in Texas, and she's a couple hours away from all the major stuff in Houston, but when we were dropping her off in Comfort at His Hill Bible School, I should just kind of explain. We have two GPSs. One is really old, like 8 years old. It's never been updated. So it's pretty good for the major stuff, but it doesn't avoid traffic. And my iPhone, kind of stopped working intermittently when we were away. And we couldn't get it working again, so I usually use Google Maps because they direct you around traffic and things. But this day, we're coming into Austin, Texas, and the traffic is like crazy. It's really like, well, let's switch over to Google Maps, hope the phone works. And it did. And then Google Maps took us out of the city and took us through all these back roads to get the Comfort. And it was amazing because we got to see a side of Texas I don't think we would have seen otherwise. I kept looking for a tumbleweed. I didn't see one tumbleweed, but still, we're going through these back roads, and it is, like, awesome. Like, guys, this is the place you want to drive. It's hilly. It's curvy. It's like, vroom, vroom. You're going up and down. It was amazing. And we kept going over these little bridges. And these little bridges had these huge, like, pipes that went underneath them for the water to flow. But every one of them had a dry creek bed. And as we were going over them, because you go down a dip and over this little bridge and back up again, we saw these signs with numbers on them. We're kind of like, what are those? And so finally we slowed down, because we'd gone over like a dozen of these little bridges. We slowed down to look. Well, they were water markers. So you knew when you went over the bridge how deep the water was when the flash floods come, which are kind of seasonal there. And they went up to 5 feet. And I'm thinking to myself, if there's 1 foot of water on that bridge, I'm not going over it in my car, because it's flowing really fast. And the people of Israel, They come to the Jordan River. It's way higher than 5 feet over its banks. And it stood between Israel and the promised land. But Joshua told the people to do something because of what was to come. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. Well, what does that mean? Well, for those who heard it, it meant that they were to purify themselves, to wash, to make themselves ceremonially clean. Husbands and wives were to refrain that night from having sex. They were to follow the steps to make themselves as holy as possible. They were to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Why? Well, they were going to be as close to the Ark of the Covenant as they ever might be. The Ark of the Covenant that represented God's holy, holy, holy presence. And they were going to be close to God. And God was going to do something extraordinary in their midst. So I just want to kind of put this out there. The last few weeks, you've heard some good preaching. I mean, Pastor Dan talking about the throne room of God. Our elder, Larry Heen, he talked about lead, follow, or get out of the way. And last week, Pastor Steve did this wonderful message around prayer and the need to keep on praying. See, and there's no doubt in my mind that they all want to see God do great things in our church in this coming ministry year. And candidly, that is my heart's cry for us as well. That we might enter our promised land. A time in our history at Bremley Alliance that we might see our Lord work like never before. That we might know God personally. Like never before, that we would be growing in our relationship with Him and in the knowledge of our Lord like never before, that we might show the watching world God's love in words and actions like never before. And we would be, Bramley Alliance together, a family, knowing, growing, and showing. Because I believe God wants to do amazing things in our midst. That we might see His favor resting on us as a family. As we follow Jesus. And those things that He leads us to do. But we each have a part to play in that. Not just for us as a church, but within our own life. My friends, we need to consecrate ourselves to God. Consecrate ourselves to Him. And that is going to look way different than what the Israelites did. With all the washing they did to try to become clean before God. So they might be set apart for God. Now that's going to look way different for us. Because to be completely candid with you, we are so blessed. I mean, we are blessed. Because Jesus has done all the heavy lifting for us. Jesus, at the cross, did what no amount of washing could ever do. He paid our sin debt. He washed us. He cleansed us. He opened the way so that we could be truly clean in the shedding of His blood. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Christ, we are clean before God. But to consecrate ourselves, what is that? I mean, how do we do that? You see, I believe with all my heart, that means for us today that we set ourselves apart for God. We dedicate ourselves to Him. The one we would call Lord would actually be placed in the position of lordship. That we might be released from this idea that if it's to be, it's all up to me. Because it's never been all up to you. It's never been all up to me. It's the Lord's plans that prevail. And when we set ourselves apart for God, when we dedicate ourselves to Him, we are then released to join Him in the promised land. And does that not sound like a place you want to be? Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Or let me put it this way. Dedicate yourself to the Lordship, to His Lordship in this life He has given you. Jesus, my time is yours. My time is yours. You lead me to what the priorities are I need to set. Jesus, my relationships are yours. With my spouse, with my kids, with my parents, with my brother, with my sister. Lord, my relationships are yours. My friendships, they're all yours. And I will honor you in each one of those. And Lord, lead me to those who need to hear of your goodness and your love. And Jesus, my future is yours. Jesus, I don't want the dreams that I have for me. I want your dreams for me, Jesus. That's the dreams I want to live out. Jesus, what do you dream for me? What was I created to do? I want your dream for me. And Jesus, my finances are yours. And I know this is like one of the hardest ones for so many people. But Jesus, whether I have little or I have much, you will be first in my finances. Jesus, I want to see you do amazing things in this life you have given me as you lead me to the promised land. Jesus, my life is yours, for you are my Lord. You see, to consecrate ourselves to God is to dedicate our life to Him. And hear this, His agenda, not your agenda. His agenda, not yours. This is not to say that we do not have a part to play here, because, I mean, we left Joshua and the people of God with an impassable barrier between them and the promised land. Let me read this to you, and it is a big section of Scripture. Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it and went up ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of the Israels, of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Who would like to volunteer to be a priest? Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here, come here. Come and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will most certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Abath, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. They crossed over on dry ground. Not only did the water stop flowing, it also evaporated at lightning speed. They were on dry ground. The people dedicated themselves to God, and He did something amazing in their midst. But for that to actually happen, there was a group of people that needed to act. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So nothing happened with the water until the priests stepped into the water. And I'm sure for all the Jewish people, this was a great miracle. But for those priests, like, let's just say, for those first two guys carrying the ark, this was like an incredible miracle. Can you imagine what it would be like for them, the pressure? Because there's the Jordan, and the Jordan has really steep sides on it. And as soon as you start going in, there's no turning back because you're going down into the river. And add to that, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence, the symbol of the presence of God. And everyone in Israel is watching them. Talk about pressure. I mean, dropping that in the water would have been a bad thing. But their actions, even with all this pressure, their actions in faith, and don't miss this, in obedience, it led to a miracle. It led to a miracle. The way to the promised land being opened for all the people. And I really need you to stick with me here, because I think this next little bit has potential to make a difference for God's kingdom. And I really trust it's going to make a difference for many of you that are here this morning as well. So you hear this story, and you think, well, it was a leader like Joshua who made it all happen. And we tell ourselves, well, I'm no Joshua. And some of you might think, well, it was those priests who carried the ark into that raging river that made it happen. Or maybe it was because they had the ark that represented the presence of God that made it happen. And then you look at yourself and you say, hey, I'm no leader like Joshua. And granted, he was a great leader. I mean, I don't think I could ever measure up to him. Or you might think, I'm no priest, like those guys who carried the ark. You know, maybe the pastors. Now, those pastors, they might be like the priests because, you know, they spend some extra time with God. They take some kind of spiritual steroids, and so they're like super spiritual or something. But that's not me either. And add to that, I don't have the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's presence. So really, really, I'm not the girl. I'm not the guy to do that kind of risky thing, of stepping out and into that kind of crazy faith, stepping out and into that kind of crazy obedience to God. So I want to tell you this morning, if you have anything like those thoughts going through your head right now, that in the name and the power and in the authority of Jesus Christ, I rebuke those lies. Because that's exactly what they are. You know, we're not living in the Old Testament times. We are living in the New Testament times. We are living in the time when Jesus died and paid our sin debt, when Jesus conquered death, and so much has changed. You want to know what's changed in this time that we are living? Let me read to you what Peter writes. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So right off the bat, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, guess what you're a part of? You're not part of just a priesthood. You are part of a royal priesthood. In the presence of God, I mean, those priests had the Ark of the Covenant, that holy symbol. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God in your body." So you're a priest, and you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, his presence. And as a Christian, his presence is always with you. But still you think, no. God, come on. God would never ask me to attempt wonderful things for him like Joshua did. Would he? I mean, come on, would he? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You're a priest in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And you are, and don't miss this, Christ's chosen representative. And listen, not to be a Joshua, to be you. To be who God made you to be. That is who you are. Who God created, who Jesus created you to be. And let me remind you that all these things I have just said are true of you as a Christian. And come on, let's just remember, it wasn't Joshua, it wasn't the priests, you know, or anything they were carrying that caused all these things to happen. What did they do? They trusted God and they followed his lead. And God did the amazing things. And it's God who continues to do wonders in our time. And he is looking. He's looking for women. He is looking for men. He is looking for youth. He is looking for kids. He's looking for seniors who have not checked out. Who haven't checked out on life. He's looking for church families who will step up and consecrate themselves, dedicate themselves to him in faith and in obedience. Dedicate themselves to Jesus. There's something else. It's a great thing to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We also need to step into the water. We need to step into the water that the way to the promised land might be opened for us and for others. So what say you, Bramley Alliance family? Want to join me? Band, why don't you come on back up? We're going to worship God. And if you want to this morning affirm your choice to say to our Lord Jesus, I dedicate myself to you, Lord. I consecrate myself to you. I want to see you do amazing things in my life, and I want to see you do amazing things in this church family. If that's you this morning, then as we sing, come forward. Fill the aisles, fill the front, this whole section down, all the aisles if we have to. Let me be real clear. I am asking you to move. I'm asking you not to sit in your chair or stand behind it. I'm asking if this is something you're going to do, you're going to dedicate, consecrate yourself to the Lord. You're going to say, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm calling you, Lord, and you will be Lord in my life. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to move from where I'm sitting, and I'm going to come forward. I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to say, God, I'm consecrating myself to you right now. My life is yours. Walk the 10. Walk the 40 feet. Come. Fill the front. Fill the aisles if we have to. And the song we're singing, it's not one of those super emotional songs. It's a song of truth, and it is really upbeat and loud. I think it needs to be, but it's based kind of out of Romans 12:1, that we are sacrifices, living sacrifices. You know, the Old Testament, you would kill something as a sacrifice and leave it on the altar. We are living sacrifices. God, my life is yours. We don't stay on the altar. We get up and we live our lives. But we are consecrated to God. We're dedicated to him. And so we're going to sing. And if you want to say to the Lord, I'm all in, Lord. I can be counted on. And I'm asking you to come on forward. And once we're done singing this song, I'm going to come back up here. And I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to be released into this world. And I'm trusting into the promised land that God has for us this coming year as a church family.